Your business exists because you had the idea to start it. Everything begins in our minds. That's why your business results cannot outgrow your current level of thinking. Do you want to serve more clients, make more money, without working more or burning yourself out? Grow yourself first as a leader of your business, because that's who you are, a leader, even if you're the only person in your business right now. When you lead yourself first, the business results will always follow. My name is Maggie Perrotin. I'm an international business and leadership coach, an expert in business mindset, strategy, and high performance. I created the Diamond Effect podcast to help you elevate your thinking, expand your perspective, and through it, grow your business without overwhelm. So let's get started. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Diamond Effect podcast. Today, I want to talk about and share with you how you can book out your service-based business with returning clients and referrals. But before we get to the main topic, I wanted to say that as a CEO of your business and a leader of your business, you should never stop marketing and selling. So you shouldn't be just relying on returning clients and referrals coming, even though I'll teach you how to have a strategy around it and really control that as much as you can. You also need to be bringing in new people to your business, not only to keep growing, but also even account for the fact that not all your clients will be returning clients, whether it's because their life situation changed, their needs changed, your business changed, whatever that is. So you always need to be marketing and selling to people who don't know you yet in order to continue growing. But also you can get full by catering to people who already know you, like you, and trust you. It's definitely much easier and more fun probably than looking for new people. And the thing is, once you get full, then it's time to up level again and grow again and think through that. So that's the caveat to this episode today. And I thought of doing this episode because sometimes our brain loves to just keep going to new. So new shiny object syndrome. I just need to look for new clients. And it forgets that you have this gold mine, especially when you're an established business, of current clients who love you, trust you, and know you, because our brain tends to normalize the known things. So clients who keep coming, and either skip past that and not even think about that, that's actually a gold mine right there, or it can lead to complacency, which definitely you don't want. So that's where we're going to start. Your mindset about your current clients and people that they refer to you or they could refer to you. One, never take it for granted. Never take for granted that the clients come and keep returning and they keep referring, even if it's happening to you. Be grateful for it and appreciate that. And yes, you deserve it. You're delivering amazing service. You're an amazing service provider, so you totally deserve it. But what I don't want you to happen is let your healthy confidence in the quality of the services you provide to turn into entitlement. That's a trap that you definitely want to avoid. And that's something you need to be consciously thinking about, it because our brain likes to go there. Our ego sometimes likes to go there, turn the healthy confidence into a bit of arrogance and entitlement. And of course, we don't want to be there because then it's sometimes hard to notice, but it then shows up in the way you treat your clients, you deliver service to your clients and so on, which will hurt your business. So we just want to be aware of that and occasionally checking in. Where are we? Are we still just healthy, confident in the value that we offer and grateful for the clients that are coming and referring? Or are we starting to slip into expectancy and entitlement? If that happens, don't judge yourself or anything. Just notice and redirect. So next, I'm going to move on to share with you three practical strategies for you to use to take control and be more in charge of client returning to you and also referring. Now, you can apply one of them, three of them, or at least the first one, depending on where you are in your business. Before that, I want to just talk about three points. One is that I'm sharing those three strategies with you under the assumption that you do have certain established business and you have already served X amount of clients who potentially can return or are already returning, right? And potentially could refer you. But if you're listening to this and you're a brand new business owner who barely served anybody or, you know, just not enough clients, just listen to it for the future and think how you can implement at least the first strategy I will share with you as soon as possible. The first thing I would say the most important here out of three strategies for everybody is to find a way to nurture your current clients, whether they're currently involved with you or past clients. It depends on what type of business you have, right? If you're maybe a spa that sees clients on a regular basis, that books the clients right after the first visit or the second, or a hair salon, or you're a massage therapist, clients tend to go back to you on a regular basis, or whether you're more project-based, where you do a project like a photographer for a client and maybe they don't come back for a year, right? So that recurrence of clients happens less often when you compare it to a beauty or medical practitioner. The same with the events, right? If you're into event business, then the client might come back, but it might be few months or a year before they do. So you want to have a way to nurture them throughout their journey with you and in between, so they remember about how great you are and also keep adding value to them. And one of the best ways to do it is email marketing. And I know that you've probably heard it. This is not a new revelation, but you might be one of those people to saying, well, it's techie and I don't know how and I don't have time and so on. But I want to say that there is a lot of benefits to email marketing and nurturing your clientele through there. It's very low cost and effective, right? When you have 200 people, 300 people, thousands of people to nurture, if you were to send them thank you cards after even once a month, if they're visiting you more often, or even once a year, it can become costly and takes a lot of time. So you end up not doing it often enough for people to even remember you. And I'm not saying never do that. I'm just saying that in comparison, email marketing is much more effective and low cost and has a good ROI, so return on investment on effort, time, and money. And also, I do believe you can offer more value through it long term. Email marketing also ends up serving multiple purposes. So one is it makes easy for the clients to get in touch with you and book a next appointment. So let's say if you're in a business where you don't book the next appointment right after the client's visit because you just don't know when, like for example, next photography session or next event, then you being in your client inbox and making it easy to click on the link and contact you, it's valuable to them. I always say and bring myself as a client, I'm really a busy mom. And if I need to book something, I don't like to look through, search for websites, go on social media, try to message or try to find in 30 posts to determine how do I get in touch with you. I like it to be easy. So if you are in my inbox and I just happen to need your services, and in every email I have a little book here or contact me this way, I truly appreciate it. Another purpose that email marketing serves is that you can add additional value to your clients who already love you, right? You can educate them, you can give tips, you can teach them something that will be useful for them in their day-to-day. And then as a byproduct, you have a better educated client who have more realistic expectation when working with you again. So let's say when you educate people on the event planning, even if they, let's say if they wanted to do it alone and you tell them what to consider and traps to avoid and so on, when they hire you, they understand your process better. Therefore, they will be more reasonable. Same if you're a contractor, an interior designer. If your client understands what goes into your art and craft, they will be more understanding. I promise you. So everybody loves to learn. Email marketing, it's a great way to educate your clients, which gives them value. They feel like they're learning, like they understand you better. And through that, you have a better quality relationship with them when they hire you, I promise. And then the third purpose of email marketing is that it keeps you on top of mind of your clients. Again, especially if they're not coming to you on a regular basis, they might forget the name of your company. They might forget how to find you, and they might be struggling to Google you. Maybe they displaced your card that they had in the wallet. But if they have you in their email, even if it's just every 3 weeks or once a month, it's so much easier for them to find you back and keep you on top of mind. It's so much easier for them to flip that email to a friend to recommend you, even if you don't have any referral programs whatsoever. So don't let the technology or what it entails setting up an email marketing system deter you. First of all, it doesn't have to be as difficult as you might make it mean. You can start very simple and very small. You can always hire somebody to do the setup for you. There's a lot of great companies or freelancers, solo professionals that specialize in that. And with my clients, for those of them who do want to do it on their own, I help them through this process. I help them decide on the company, like email company. We come up always with the strategy to stay in touch with your clients, what it would look like, what type of content you would put in. And I even give them the ideas. I review those when they create. So either way, I promise you, you can do it. Either you hire somebody out or you figure it out on your own. Or when you coach with me, we do it together. It makes it way simpler and faster and easier, I promise. Now, moving on to strategy number two. This one is more of a referral strategy, and that's to create certain referral incentives for your current clients on a regular basis. So there's different options that you can do. It doesn't have to be the standard, or I'll give you 10% off if you refer somebody, or that person will have a certain percentage off and it's always there. It could be an event that you do occasionally or seasonally or whatever, or it could be a very unique way. You get to be creative with this. You're a business owner. You know your best clients the best to know what would be fun for them, what they would buy into, what they would love to participate in. That's what you want to think when you're creating the referral program, right? How can I get my clients on board? Meaning who they are, what would be fun and easy and simple for them to do. So I'll give you an example of something that I just came across this week that I thought, what an amazing idea. Talking about referral, a friend recommended this retreat / spa that's a couple of hour drives here from Toronto. And they're very known internationally. They won a lot of amazing awards internationally. And I'm on their email list. I haven't been there, but this is on my bucket list. And I would love to go there. Probably this year, I will book a couple of days of a retreat for myself. But I've been receiving their newsletters and their emails. And I'm not reading all of them, but I'm looking at things, right? Because I'm already thinking about going there. And a couple of days ago, they sent an email where they have a promotion of book with us and bring a friend for free. meaning within the period of time, if you book with them a day or two of a specific package, you can bring a friend and be in the room with them because you stay overnight there, and they're there for free. I was beyond excited. I immediately emailed one of my girlfriends saying, hey, what do you think? Maybe we should go. It's such a great deal. So not only through that, they're actually enticing me as the first time client to come because I haven't even been there yet, but they're gathering a potential of another client who doesn't even know they exist. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to do it. Now, they, from what the friend who referred them to me told me, they were so amazing. She's been going there for many, many years. So I'm sure they know that once somebody comes to them once, they will want to come back, right? So they're willing to create this bonus. It's limited time. I don't think they do it every year, but to create this bonus because they know people will come back and will keep looking because they're so good, right? So this is just an example of a creative way to incentivize referrals that doesn't have to be something that lasts forever, that you need to promote forever, that you need to maintain forever. But of course, you can have something more structured where it's okay, Mrs. or Mr. Client, every time you refer somebody to us, you get a percentage off of your next service, or we give you a gift card to Starbucks, or we give you some cash back, or that person gets a gift card, whatever that is, right? You can have something more structured and something that lasts forever. All I wanted to say is you can be very creative with it, and you definitely should target that towards your clients, make it simple, easy, and exciting for them to participate. The third strategy is more comprehensive and definitely makes sense for you to do once your business is more established, so not necessarily when you're just starting, but at the same time, as I think about it, when you're just starting, it might be easier to implement it. And that's to have a very strategic approach to your client entire journey with you. And I did talk about it on this podcast a couple of times. I just don't remember what episodes they were. But thinking about how your ideal clients meet you, or they see you, how they interact with you, and then when they start working with you and buying from you, also their experience through that, and really focus on wowing them so much so that they just can't stop talking and raving about you everywhere they go, and naturally recommend you to anybody they meet that could use your services. And that's 100% possible. Just think of Disney, right? Most families, 95 or 99% of families that go to Disney, they experience the vacations of their dreams. The kids have the time of their life, so they can't stop talking about it at school, during family dinners, friends, and so on, and the word spreads. But also, you don't have to be Disney with the Disney resources to do it. I will give you one example of a restaurant that my friend was in, that we both went to it, but my friend came back to it, that was just amazing. So we went to this restaurant here in Greater Toronto Area for a meeting, like a networking event, and it was really wonderful. The place is beautiful, and our group that we network with had this kind of in basement next to the wine cellar event. We had a wonderful waitress who was helpful, also, you know, talked to all the participants and found out little things about them. The food was great and so on. So we loved the place. And during that event, my friend told the waitress that she wasn't eating meat. And that was just part of the conversation, nothing crazy. And then after the event, she came back with, I believe, a client of hers or another friend of hers for dinner, just the two of them at the restaurant. The waiter that served them, who wasn't even the waiter that helped us during the event, knew that my friend didn't eat meat. She was amazed that that information was passed. The waiter knew her name before she even said it because the waitresses communicated. For her, that was such a wonderful and unexpected touch that she was beyond herself. Of course, the food was amazing. The atmosphere was amazing. So my friend or her client had a great time. But that little detail just wowed her to the point where she can't stop talking about the restaurant. It's her new favorite restaurant for service and the atmosphere that they create. And she talks about it all the time. And she refers anybody who will listen to go to this restaurant. So you can see that it truly doesn't have to take a lot to wow your client. Yes, sometimes it's having proper employees, if you're a larger business with employees, and training them properly and hiring properly. But even if you're a solopreneur, you can do that too, especially that you can fully control, right, your interaction with the clients. Now, I will give you an example of my experience from some time ago that wasn't so great. With the new business, I actually wanted to be a client of and try as a service, and I still haven't because I haven't heard back from them, which is kind of crazy. So I got to know about this relatively new beauty business in my area from an event I attended, and I checked them out online, and they had some great ratings and good website that told me what they were doing, and they're offering services that I was kind of considering anyway. So I thought, okay, let me support them. They seem amazing. Let me support them and book one service that's kind of lower priced, but I'm also interested in her higher ticket services. But I also have as a client questions and objections, not for them specifically, but the service itself. I've been considering the service even from other providers for some time, but I'm kind of scared a little bit. So I have questions. So I wanted to use this opportunity to take a lower risk service, get their experience. Also, I wanted, so get that done, and then talk about this other thing that it's much higher ticket, but it's also a bit scary for me. I went to their Instagram page just because I myself am on Instagram. I market on Instagram. So if there is a business that I follow on Instagram, it's the first way that comes to my mind to actually reach out to them and inquire about things. And since they're on Instagram, I assumed that they would be also available for messaging. And I messaged them saying, hey, I would like to book this service. And at the same time, I would love to talk to you about the other service. When are you guys available? You know, let me know. I would like to book it. Crickets. I'm still haven't heard. And I'm busy. So every time I think about it to follow up, I can't because I'm recording a podcast, for example. I'm in a meeting. So it's been some time and I haven't heard. So if you think about it, my experience with them so far, it's not really wow. And I'm not even their client. So one lesson from it is don't be on social media just because everybody else is telling you you should be there if you're not willing to utilize the power of it and also communicate with potential clients through that social media. If you're not really willing to be present on them, and I'm not saying 24/7, but within business hours. Because it can hurt you. It will deter the clients before they even start working with you, just like me. I sent the message, they had like a chat automatic to say, hey, we will respond to you within whatever, 24 hours or within business hours, which was great, but they didn't. They haven't responded yet, right? So if you're not prepared to do that, just don't be on that social media. Let the clients just go onto your website and sort of force them through that communication channel if you're not willing to respond on social media. Just don't be on it. Don't open that communication channel because it hurts you more than it serves you. And that is exactly why you want to be strategic about your client journey with you and really think through how are they meeting you? How are they finding you? How are they communicating with you? how are you delivering the service and serving them after, and ensure that you wow them throughout that journey and not discourage them the very first moment they try to reach out. So I do that also with my clients. I help with that through my top CEO continuous success recipe. This is where we go through your client journey and we do ensure you wow them, and we find the gaps like the one that I just pointed out to close them, to ensure you don't miss on any client who is already sold on you, especially those and wants to work with you. And also that you have processes and systems and a structure to nurture the clients, get them to come back and recommend, so that your practice can be booked even through just clients coming back and referrals. So if you're ready to double your business without adding more work and through top CEO continuous success recipe, schedule a sales call with me and I'll leave the link for you to do that in the show notes. Talk to you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening today. If this podcast resonated with you, please come back. Also, you can leave a review on whatever platform you're listening. And if you have a suggestion, question, or a topic you would like me to talk about, let's get in touch via email. Email me at maggie@stairwaytoleadership.com. See you in the next episode.